May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text is basically these verses from our gospel reading from Luke chapter 17. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. So far our text, you may be seated. Dear saints, I know we've meditated on the word faith before, and probably anything I say in the sermon won't be as well said as the hymn we just sung, which speaks of our faith in Jesus, and echoes these words from the disciples, pleading out to the Lord to increase our faith. We've discussed how the world's notion of faith often differs from the church's idea of faith. And even within the church, I use that term loosely, we can have different ideas of what faith is. For example, we've all heard or heard of one of those so-called word of faith preachers. We have a famous one just a few miles from our campus here. Their whole shtick is that if you have enough faith and proclaim with words of faith what you want God to do for you, he will do it. He must do it. Just as God spoke the world into existence through his word, so words of people can speak their own reality into existence. You have the same power in your words that God has in his. It's a sort of my will be done kind of religion, or name it and claim it. And if we were to consider Jesus' words from our gospel lesson only superficially, we might get the impression that that's what Jesus is saying in our text. It seems like Jesus is giving the disciples the first word of faith sermon ever recorded. To paraphrase Jesus, if you have even just a little faith, you can say to this tree, get up, throw yourself into the sea, and it will happen. It has to obey you. There it is. Just say the word, and it will happen. Now remember, these words of Jesus are in response to the disciples' requests, increase our faith. But like with all of Scripture, context matters. Words matter, and Scripture interprets Scripture. Why are the disciples asking this of Jesus? What do they mean by faith? What does Jesus mean by faith? And what is up with this magical mulberry tree? First, consider the teaching of Jesus prior to the words that I read. Jesus is teaching his disciples about forgiveness. He says, pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. And immediately after this, the disciples ask Jesus, increase our faith. It's as if they realize what Jesus is telling them to do, forgiving their brother, is too hard. Increase our faith. How difficult it is to forgive someone who sins against us once, but someone who's continually sinning against us, we are to forgive them over and over. That's a burden. In fact, in the weakness of our flesh, we can't even do it. Which is why in the Lord's Prayer, we ask the Lord to forgive our sins and that we would forgive others. And that's why the disciples recognize that what Jesus is demanding of them requires faith. It requires faith in God's own forgiveness of us to be able to have the freedom to forgive others. That's the first point. We need faith to be able to forgive, and the disciples are asking Jesus for such faith. Let's briefly consider what faith is. We all know St. Paul's famous words from Ephesians chapter 2, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. God has shown us his grace, his mercy, by sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins and raising him from the dead. We are saved by his action, and the means by which we cling to that salvation is faith. You believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead for you. That is faith. You are saved through the faith by which God has given you in your baptism and his word, which he strengthens at the altar. This faith clings to the promises of Jesus. Think of faith like a jar that you're holding. And inside the jar are all the promises of God. Notice that since faith is this jar, it's a vessel, since it is a means, the power of the salvation lies not in the size of the jar, but what's inside. Power lies not in faith, but in the power of God. Faith clings to the promises of Almighty God. Thus, what faith can do, quote unquote, has no limit because God's power has no limit. Faith in Jesus is what defines us as God's people. Because we trust in Jesus for forgiveness, we are righteous in the sight of God. And as Habakkuk reminded us this morning, the righteous will live by his faith. In fact, Jesus, by talking about faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, is actually de-emphasizing the size of our faith. When he says, if you even have the faith the size of a mustard seed, he's saying, the size of your faith doesn't matter. It's who you have faith in that matters. So what about this mulberry tree? If you've ever cleared out brush or trees, you know how convenient it would be to just say, hey, tree, get up, move over there. But we know that's not how it works. Maybe our faith is too small. Think about the way Jesus phrases the statement about the mulberry tree. Notice that he doesn't say, I command you, tree, pull up your roots and go into the sea. He phrases it differently. He says, be uprooted, be planted in the sea. Grammatically, these are what we call passive verbs. Something else is acting upon the tree. The tree can't do this itself. And you and I certainly can't do it, but God can. God is the actor in these verbs. God can uproot a tree and plant it in the sea. And so again, faith is depicted as relying on God to do something, not on you or I to do something. Faith believes that God will do what God has promised to do. Faith is increased when we don't look inside and we see how little or large our faith is, but when we look at Jesus and see how faithful God is. Consider the mustard seed. In Luke 13, we read, Jesus said, therefore, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his garden, and it grew and became a tree. And the birds of the air made their nests in its branches. So the church, the kingdom of God, is like a great tree that grows from a tiny seed. The church is the great multitude of people grown from the seed of God's word. And so here we see an example of how Jesus is comparing the kingdom of God, the church, to a tree. The mulberry tree, Jesus describes, begins its time planted in the ground. That's where trees should be. Then God commands that it be moved from the ground and planted in the sea. Basic biology says that trees that grow in the ground can't grow in the sea. We know this. That's not how trees work. But by God's power, this tree could do this. This mulberry tree would obey God, move from the ground, and plant itself in the sea, and presumably it would flourish there. This is a humanly impossible thing. And now, if we think of the church as the tree, God is going to plant this tree. God is going to plant his church in a place where logically we would think it is impossible for the church to grow. Isn't that just what happens in you and in me? God has planted the seed of his word into hearts like yours and mine, hearts that are full of rebellion and evil, and through his word, he grows faith in us, that the seed of God's word takes root and flourishes in sinners like us. That is a miracle. And isn't planting the church in improbable places exactly what happens in the book of Acts and in the history of the early church? The apostles take the seed of God's word and plant it first among the Jews. Many Jews come to faith in the Messiah. We see this happening at Pentecost. But quickly thereafter, it becomes evident that most of the Jews would reject the Messiah, and the flourishing of God's kingdom would come where we would not expect. God's word begins to flourish among the Gentiles, among your ancestors and mine, among us, by all accounts should be as inhospitable to faith as the sea is inhospitable to a growing mulberry tree. We are the mulberry tree that Christ has planted in the sea. My ancestors were pagans, not Jews. They worshipped plants and Thor, maybe. They tried to manipulate God through sorcery and talismans and who knows what else. And there, in the midst of unbelief, God planted his church. Planted it through those first apostles who were worried about the size of their faith. Planted it through faithful Christians ever since. And continues to plant it. Those first apostles actually had sufficient faith. Faith to take the kingdom of God and plant it in the midst of the unbelieving world. They saw the faithfulness of God at work, and undoubtedly their faith was increased by seeing the working of God. It is a miracle. The flourishing of Christ's church is the fulfillment of his parable. Look at what great things God has done with the little faith that we have. Finally, let us consider the words of St. Paul to Timothy from our epistle reading. Paul writes, "Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you." That is, we are to follow the sound words and teachings of St. Paul and all of Scripture regarding Jesus. We follow Paul's example of faith in Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, and we hold fast to the deposit of faith that he has placed in us. And the Holy Spirit will guard your faith in Jesus, as tiny or as large as it may be. He will guard it unto eternal life, and he promises to guard the tree of his church until Christ returns in glory. Praise be to God. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.